Greetings in the name of Jesus, amen. And greetings in the new year 2025, in Jesus' name, amen. It's always good to have the opportunity for a new year. Do you know that when things don't go well, or even if things go well, but for a new year, you always have a chance to reset your goals, to calibrate? How many of you know that God does not change? God is not influenced by the old year or the new year. He is the same. We are the ones who usually have to calibrate all the time and position ourselves for what God has in store for us. Yesterday, when I was in the filling station, the petrol attendant asked me, "Do you think this year will be a good year for me?" So people want a word. But can I tell you that the best prophet for your life is yourself? Amen? Amen. You need to prophesy over your bones and declare what you want to see. Psalms 45 verse 1 says, "My tongue is a pen of a skillful writer." Amen? So you need to use your tongue as a pen of a skillful writer to declare your destiny. It won't depend on other people. It won't even depend on your neighbors. It depends on you and your tongue and your faith. So as we start this year, what are your resolutions for 2025? Some of you only have personal resolutions, but you don't have spiritual resolutions. Some of us know how these things work. The Lord has already told us that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to us. We know how to get things added upon our lives. We seek first his kingdom. So even when we have resolutions for the new year, it's largely around, what am I going to do for the Lord? If you used to miss church a lot last year, you can resolve that this year, I will not miss church. If you used to be late for church, it's my resolution, I won't be late for church, just like I don't get late for work. You take resolutions that will align you with what God has in store for you. By the way, do you know that God has already settled your future? It's up to you whether you align yourself with his plan for your life. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, the Lord says, "I know the plans that I have for you. I'm not guessing them." Maybe let's read it. Good News Translation, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm just giving this introduction so that we also wait for the rest of the brethren. Next week we'll go full throttle. But today we'll have enough time also to pray, but also just to set the scene. For this year, I'm very much expectant. But God has already set the tone. He has already decided how things should be in our lives. So Mr. MJ, Jeremiah 29:11, Good News Translation. I want you to look at that and see what God has already declared. It doesn't matter what people are saying about you. I could have said anything to that guy yesterday. So I told him, how this year will be like depends on you. Amen. You can use your faith and believe God for what you want this year and set the scene. You don't need horoscopes and those who look in stars and say, "No, I was born in May. What do you have in store for me?" You know, these things of keeping on asking people, it's just that those guys, because they are making money, they will never say anything bad among all of you who are phony. But I remember the one time when the butler and the baker had a dream. They dreamt when they were in Egypt. One came before Pharaoh and said, "I dreamt," and then laid out his dream before Joseph and laid out his dream. And then Joseph said, "Yes, your dream means you will come out of jail and you will go back, you will be restored to your former glory. And you'll go and serve Pharaoh again." The other one thought, "I also have a dream. wanting to also to hear. Joseph said, unfortunately for you, your dream means you will be taken out of jail and you will be, your head will be chopped off. But I want to say to you, don't wait for somebody to tell you that your head will be chopped off. Make it the best year ever. Declare things, even the things that you think you failed on last year. God is not limited to time. I heard the elder was saying, he was talking about God is not limited to time. So thank you, elder, for holding the fort when we were not here. Can we give hand to the elder? Amen. So God is not limited to time. So actually, you can take a double portion. You can say, what was supposed to be done last year and didn't happen, and what is supposed to come this year, which has to happen, let me get a double portion. And you can declare your future because God has already set it up. It's up to you to align yourself. Jeremiah 29:11, good news.
Plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for.
I want you to look at that verse and see. And tell your neighbor, your future is already set up. And it's not for disaster. You know, there are people who say, you never know. You know, in this life, things can work out. And sometimes they don't work out. There is no such verse. The verse I've seen, God says he already knows the plans he has. So our responsibility is to align with the plan. And he says, what is that plan? His the plan is to bring you prosperity. So I can trust God for prosperity. Doing well in this life, being successful, that's God's plan for you. He says, and not for disaster. The enemy is the one who brings disaster because he's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He says, the plans to bring about the future you hope for. So what kind of a future are you hoping for? What kind of a 2025 are you expecting? By the way, you know there is this thing where some people will tell you, I just know this year I won't finish it, I will die this year. And indeed, that's the future they are hoping for. They die that year. And you say, no, they actually knew. They already told us about this. No, they declared it. Amen? My tongue is a pen of a skillful writer. So I will only write that which I want to see and declare it. Because God already has the plan. So I believe him for that plan. And today, being the first Sunday of the month, being also the first Sunday of the year, what a beautiful time to spend in the presence of God. Just thanking God. Just setting the scene for the year. Declaring your own future. And even as for us, as for the church, I've already started, we have shared, some of you have received the theme for the year. We're going to lay that well. And you will see things this year. Tell your neighbor, you will see things this year. Don't just be a spectator. Amen. We need all to be geared up. Numbers 14:21, New King James Version. Because when God says he already knows the plans that he has for us, he also knows the plans that he has for his kingdom and for this world. So 2025 being a year of great revival, it means we just need to align ourselves with what God wanted to do anyway. Amen? Do you know that God, like here when he says he has got good plans for you, it's already set up. We only need to align ourselves with his plan. But some of you would say, Pastor, you just don't know how my life has been like. My life has been a mess. It's good that you are identifying that your life was a mess because it's not aligned to the plan. What do you do if you have a plan and then the builders are building a wrong building? Do you just say that's fine? You tell them it's not according to the plan. You will have to demolish this one and build it according to the plan. Amen. So you need to say it in your life. when you see that the enemy is trying to have an upper hand and telling you things that are not part of the plan, say, this is not part of the plan. This is not part of God's package. According to God, He is not planning any disaster for me. Because some of you may be saying, Pastor, I've been sick for so long. I think this year I will even die of this sickness. That's not part of the plan. God already said, my plans are not for disaster for you. Amen? But what is God's plan, even for this world? Mr. MJ, Numbers 14:21, New King James Version.
But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
It's also confirmed in Habakkuk 2:14, for those of you who are taking notes, Habakkuk 2:14. So he says, truly, as the Lord lives, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. And you look around and say, but we are not seeing much of the glory. We are not seeing much of what God said He would do. People are even confused. They talk about different religions, and they see Christianity also as just another religion. They don't see a difference. But the Lord says, truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory. And indeed, the earth will be filled with God's glory. The community of Eerste River is going to enjoy the glory of the Lord. Amen. Your workplace will enjoy the glory of the Lord. Amen. Because you are here. And we need to align ourselves with this plan. He says, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. The glory of God is the manifested presence of God. So when God comes and manifests Himself, He shows us His glory. That's why in this year of great revival, this is the moment that we've been waiting for, the moment that we've been praying for. I always used to wonder. I would go and look at the scriptures and look at the book of Acts and see what God did and say, but we're not seeing that. How many of you know that the word of God does not change? It is our situations that must change and align to what God has said. It means if God has already declared something, it will not change. If my situation is not aligned yet, my situation has to change and align. Amen. So it means I'm highly expectant. I want to see this year the Lord, the church of God again experiencing and moving in the glory of God, in the fullness of God's glory, that people should never wonder who is the real God. You know, in the Old Testament, I like those prophets. They used to know their God. They would speak things like, Lord, defend us so that all the people of the earth may know that you are God. They always wanted to demonstrate the power of their God. And with us living in these last days, how much more do you think the Lord wants to usher His glory? As He prepares for the second coming of the Lord, the Bible says when the Lord comes, He's preparing His church, a bride, without spot or wrinkle for His second coming. Jesus is not coming for a defeated church. He's coming for a glorious church, walking in power, in the fullness of power. And the Bible says, the glory of the latter house shall supersede that of the former house. So if we talk in the book of Acts about, I'll share with you some few things in Acts, then you just see how the glory was, how things were manifested in the church, through the church, and among believers. And I'm expecting greater things than that. Amen? Yeah, people should never ask again who is the real God. May God show Himself strong on our behalf. Our part is to position ourselves with His plan. He already has the plan, and the earth will be filled with His glory. So go with me to the book of Psalms 85, 6 to 13. This is our scripture theme for the year, a theme scripture for the year, a year of great revival. And I see that when the Lord wants to do something, He always declares it. And then those who believe it will experience it. Those who don't believe it will not experience it. You remember the one time in the book of 2 Kings, there was famine in Samaria. The man of God came and said to the king, tomorrow by this time, so at that time there was famine, there was hunger, no food. People were eating, they were selling the dung of doves, and they were even eating each other's children. So they agreed, there is an incident recorded, where two mothers, one agreed, today we kill your child and eat your child, tomorrow we'll eat mine. Then they ate that one child, and the next day when they wanted to eat the other child, the mother of the other child hid the child. And then that mother went to the king and said, King, this is unfair. We've agreed with this lady, this woman, that we eat our children. We started with mine. Now is the turn for us to eat her child. And she has hidden her child away. And the king was very angry and surprised. So if it had come to that extent, imagine when hunger was like that and somebody comes and says, tomorrow, by this time, at the city gate of Samaria, there will be so much flour that it will be so cheap to buy. There will be so much oil that it will be so cheap to buy. And they couldn't see how that would happen. One man, and by the way, the scholars and all the people who think they are wise, they like questioning what God says. So he says, even if God were to open up the windows of heaven, can such a thing be? Tomorrow we are in this hunger, and you say tomorrow by this time, in the gate of Samaria, it will never happen. The man of God didn't argue with him, just like we won't argue with you. If you say it will never happen, we just tell you, you will see it with your eyes, but you won't eat it. That's what the man of God said. And indeed, the following day, after the lepers went with that story of the Syrians, and the lepers went there, and then the soldiers ran away, and they left so much food, that indeed the following day, there was so much food in Samaria. And now when they wanted people to come and eat that food, the man who said it will never happen was put to be in charge of the queues. So he was controlling the queues, but this was a way for him to see it and not eat it. So there was so much stampede that he saw it happening, but people trampled on him and he died. So he saw it, but he did not experience it. So when God says something, don't be a skeptic, because surely you will see it. You will just not eat it. Last year we had a great year, and this is some of the fruit of last year's thing. By the way, last year by this time it was all grass here. There was nothing. Those of you who don't know, where you are sitting today, cars were parking here last year by this time. Now, had somebody told you, next year by this time, you will be sitting in a chair in this place with a mezzanine floor above you, you would have said, how on earth would such a thing happen? You just don't know how God works. So rather, believe him and just say, Lord, you know. I like Ezekiel. Ezekiel, when one time when God said, you see, he was faced with dry bones. And God says to him, son of man, can these bones live? He looked at the bones and they were very dry. Now God asked, can these bones live? It's like God asking you about your situation. Can your situation live? Can your circumstances change? And you look at it and it's very dry. And Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. He didn't want to say, I doubt this. He knew that God is in charge. He says, Lord, you know. And then the Lord said, prophesy over these bones. Son of man, prophesy. Make a declaration. So similarly, what are your dry bones? What dry bones are you facing? What situations are you facing? What circumstances are you facing? Prophesy over them. Make a declaration in this year of great revival. Mr. MJ, read for us Psalms 85 from 6 to 13, the Passion Translation.
Revive us again, O God. I know you will.
Okay, I like that. I like how he starts. Revive us again, O God. I know you will. Can we all say that? Revive us again, O God. I know you will. Amen. Let's go for it again. Revive us again, O God. I know you will. That's a better way to set your resolutions. You think about his kingdom, and all the other things will be added. Revive us again, O God. I know you will.
Give us a fresh start.
I like this. Continue.
Then all your people will taste your joy and gladness. Pour out even more of your love on us.
Yes.
Reveal more of your kindness and restore us back to you.
Amen.
Now I'll listen carefully to your voice and wait to hear whatever you say.
This sounds is loaded. Because as he says, revive us again, O God, I know you will. Give us a fresh start. And then all the people will taste your joy and gladness. He says, as long as I live, the earth will be filled with my glory. So may all the people taste the joy and the gladness of God. If you look at people today are very much depressed. Some people even commit suicide because they are under pressure. The Lord says, you will taste the joy and the gladness of God. May the Lord change that which was hurting you and breaking you down to lift you up. May all the stumbling blocks that have been placed on your path become stepping stones. All the things that the enemy wanted to kill you with, may that be used for your promotion. Amen. Amen. I know you will. And he says, pour out even more of your love on us. Reveal more. Looking for more. You see, sometimes you pray, when you pray, don't just pray like we used to do in primary school. We used to pray as a ritual. You pray, pray, pray. And then, before you say amen, we were looking for the way, because prayer was the last thing you do. So you say amen when you are going out. Don't pray like that. You are not a Sunday school child. Pray and listen to his voice. He says, verse 8, now I will listen carefully to your voice and wait to hear whatever you say. So it means in this year of great revival, we'll need to be so much tuned to his frequency that sometimes he will disturb our programs, because sometimes we've got a set way of doing things that becomes a hindrance to what God wants to do. So if we are not careful and we are not sensitive, we may miss him. And also, if we're expecting him to come mainly in thunders and earthquakes like Elijah, we might miss that still small voice. Amen? So he says, I will listen carefully for your voice and wait to hear whatever you say. Continue.
Let me hear your promise of peace.
Hey, you can see here, he's not talking disaster. Tell your neighbor, this year is not about disaster, it's about what God wants to do. We're going to experience and hear his peace, his joy and his gladness, as the whole earth is filled with his glory. Continue.
The message every one of your godly lovers longs to hear.
Yes, we want to hear a good message of good news.
Don't let us in our ignorance turn back from following you. For I know your power and presence shines on all your devoted lovers.
He knows what? Your power and your presence. I'm expecting more of God's power and more of God's presence, even in our churches. I'm expecting to see God healing people. By the way, this year, when we do the planning, all of you, the leaders, all of you are invited. The 25th, we'll tell you more about that. We'll even have healing services on some of the Sunday evenings, just to see God demonstrating his power and delivering his people. Amen. Amen. He says, I know your power and your presence. We need to experience that. We want to see God delivering those that are bound, setting them free. Amen. We want to see the lame walking, the blind seeing, as God soaks us in his glory. Continue.
Your glory always hovers over all who bow low before you.
Oh, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Your glory always hovers over all who bow low before you. As we worship him, his glory hovers over us. The Bible says he dwells in the praises of his people. So as we bow before him, his glory hovers over us. See, that word hovers is the word that in Genesis is used. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered. So when the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over a place, it's like brooding. It's like a chicken. Those of you who know the hens, the hen chicks, some of you in rural areas, in urban areas, you only see the eggs, but you don't know how they come about. So some of us know even how chicks come about. So a hen would lay eggs, and then it would hover over them, which we call, as it's hovering over them, brooding over them, 21 days later, you will start hearing life. But 21 days before that, it was all chaos. If you were to break that egg 21 days earlier, you would have seen just topsy-turvy. They say that word, the earth was without form and void. It was like topsy-turvy. So it's mixed up. But let the Spirit of the Lord hover it, and let the word be spoken over it. So when he says his glory is always hovering over all who bow before him, do you think you are going to miss your time in worship? You need to go and worship. Go as you go and bow before him. What's happening over me? His glory hovers over me. Amen. There was even a time when Moses would be coming to the temple, to the tabernacle. The Bible says the glory of the Lord would descend, and people would literally see the glory of the Lord over him. Amen. Yes, the glory of the Lord hovers over me. In such a way that when the glory of God is upon your life, whatever you touch, the glory of the Lord touches it. And even when people look at you, they will be afraid of you. Because there's something peculiar about you. There's something extraordinary about you. Because the glory of God hovers over you. Continue.
Your mercy and your truth have married each other.
Mm.
Your righteousness and peace have kissed. Flowers of your faithfulness are blooming on the earth.
Mm.
Righteousness shines down from the sky.
Yes.
Yes, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing.
I mean, I like to hear things like this. If you guys are just hearing all the calamities and all the disasters, you're not spending enough time in the scriptures. I want to hear about this. I want to hear, yes, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing. That's why when you ask some of us, how are you? They know it even in my work. Yeah, I'm blessed, highly favored, and recommended for more blessings. Amen? As if the blessings I have now are not enough. Isn't it that the Lord said, when you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. So if they have to overtake me, and I don't have room enough to contain the blessings, then it means there are many more coming. So he says, Lord, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing. And prosperity. Yeah, all these terms are not evil terms. Some of you think prosperity, riches and all that, you think they are evil terms. And then poverty, sickness, and then you think those are godly terms. No, you have swapped things around. He says, yes, the Lord keeps raining down blessing after blessing. And prosperity will drench the land with a bountiful harvest. For deliverance goes before him, preparing a path for his steps. You see, if we were only just confining ourselves just in what is here in Psalms, you can see that the year is already filled. There's so much. You look here, he talks about, after he talks about his glory, he talks about us listening to his voice, he talks about blessing after blessing, he talks about prosperity, he talks about bountiful harvest. I'm expecting the Lord to fill this place. And we'll have two services before the end of this year. I'm telling you now, and you will see it. Amen. Because God is faithful. And we declare it, and when it happens, you say, oh, but the pastor said, I remember when he said this. Why don't you also learn what your pastor does, and you also declare things? You are a king. Tell your neighbor, you are a king. You need to make declarations. And in the book of Job, the Bible says, and you shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So make some declarations. As we are going to pray today, as we are going to give you time to pray today, just make declarations. Pray and speak things into being. So that then you won't be surprised when things happen. You know you are expecting them. Amen. So, I'll just touch a little bit on what we'll continue with next week. When we're talking about revival and great revival and all that, it's all these things that I was now listing to you in Psalms. Because he said, revive us, O Lord, and he started listing a lot of things. But we need to be expectant and thinking, I better go back to the book of Acts and look at what happened in the book of Acts. Because if you want to a prototype of a revival, go to the book of Acts. Amen. We could talk many revivals. During our days, I know about the revival in 1906. Some of you have heard about the Azusa Street revival with William Seymour and the other people there in America. He was an African American, he was a black man, and one of his eyes was blind. He could only see with one eye because when he was a child, he contracted polio and then one of his eyes was damaged. But the Lord used him mightily. So when you hear about the Azusa Street revival and you hear the message of tongues and all this, there was a particular time when some people were seeking the face of God and saying, Lord, we are hungry for you. And God does not necessarily need masses to do things. He just needs a person who is committed to God's cause. And the Spirit of the Lord will hover and move and start touching lives. I'm looking forward create time when the Lord is just bringing people and you just see people coming and multitudes. By the way, we also have a space above you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it seems there's a space above us here. Amen. So as we feel here, we feel there, we go up there, but we've got to do it twice. Two services. Then it means we're doing it right. Amen? Amen. And for us to do that, we need to always be prepared and move with God. So I want us to just, I'll just briefly touch this and just, it's just introduction. We're just introducing this. We'll do it well from next week when everybody, most of the people will be here. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to do it in the New King James Version. Because I want us to look, if we are going to experience this great revival, how should we position ourselves? We need to learn from other revivals that came before us. I gave you an example of the Azusa Street Revival. But since I don't have much of those, and I want more of this one that every one of you has got access to, the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you can see God acting. They call it the Acts of the Apostles, but in real sense, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was acting and showing up the glory of God. Acts chapter 2. Let's start verse 1 to 4 in the New King James Version. Mr. Mukosi, you can share the load with Mr. MJ. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, New King James Version. So that then we look at, you see, like the thing I'm telling you now about this great revival, you need to be anticipating and waiting for it. So similarly, these people, they were given a promise. Before Jesus left, he told them in the book of Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 5, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. They waited for it, expecting it. So in the same way we're telling you about this great revival, wait for it, expecting it. Amen? Position yourself. Then you will be a participant in that which God is going to do. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4, New King James Version.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
Okay. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, it was a day they were waiting for, but it fully came. Amen. Ask your neighbor, are you expectant? The day is coming. It says, they were all with one accord. I mean, we read many things there in Psalms chapter 85. But here I'm seeing some of the ingredients of a great revival. Unity. They were all with one accord. They were all sold out for what God was going to do. And as we are in one accord, you remember in the book of Genesis 11 when people wanted to build a tower toward heaven. They were all in one accord. But they wanted to do something. They said, let's build a tower that reaches heaven. The Bible says, and God saw what they were intending to do. And he said, unless we divide them, unless we make them speak different languages, what they are going to do will not be impossible for them. He said that, God. He realized, no, these guys are determined. The only way to stop them from doing this, because that was not a noble cause. How do you build a tower and you go to heaven? So he said, let's confuse their languages. Then you start, you know, the Tower of Babel. Yeah. Some started saying, Kanekesi Daka. The other one, give me the mortar. The other one, brick. The other one, ow. Now we started scattering. Now, in the church, may we be of one accord. May we be of one faith. May we all declare the good things that God is going to do in our lives and in our church. That's the language we speak. Amen. Start declaring it. My tongue is like a pen of a skillful writer. I want to declare my theme to the... Actually, just hold your finger there. Your finger there. I think this Psalms is good. We must read it. Somebody in the NIV, Psalms 45, verse 1. Do it in NIV. Psalms 45. Start from 1.
My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer.
Amen. What is stirring up in your heart? He said, my heart is stirred up with a noble theme. Is your heart stirred up with a noble theme? Is it stirred up with your noble theme? We've got enough time today after church to pray and start writing it. So just reread it.
My heart is stirred by a noble theme.
Yes, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. Some of you, your hearts are filled with bitterness. That won't work. It cannot take you to God's revival. Your heart is not meant to hold people. Your heart is meant to hold a noble theme. A noble theme. A theme of good things. If there are those that hurt you, forgive them. Forgive them. When you forgive them, you free yourself. Because when you are still holding them, you are limiting your own destiny. Continue.
As I recite my verses for the king.
As I recite my verses to the king. Are we going to have time to recite some verses? After church. Those of you, we have time to pray. Some of us after church, we're gathering again and we want to pray. You just pray until you feel you are ready to go. The prayer that we have every first Sunday of the month is not limited. If you want to be here for 5 hours, it's fine. If you want to be here for 30 minutes, it's fine. You pray until you feel my heart is satisfied. As I declare my verses to the king, I've got some declarations to make. Amen? And I'm going to declare that. There are things I want to see this year in our church and in my life, and I'm going to declare them. In your own families, be masters of your own destinies. In your workplaces, be masters. Because the Lord said you will be above only and never beneath. You will be the head and not the tail. My tongue.
My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer.
Ish. Say ish. Has your tongue been a pen of a skillful writer? Sometimes I look at what children write, especially those ones before grade R. Have you seen how they write? Some of you do that with your future. That's not being skillful. You need to be a skillful writer. Those of you young ladies who are still looking for marriage, a skillful writer. Godly marriage. Amen? A skillful writer. My tongue is that pen. But it's starting from a heart that is full of a noble theme. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Just want to capture that first part and we'll package it in such a way that we'll know where to pack it and then pick it up next week. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, New King James Version. They were all in one accord, in one place. Verse 2.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting.
So, as they were in one accord, in one place, the Lord moved mightily by His Spirit. Continue.
Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with each other, with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, be highly expected. They were all filled, not some of them. They were all filled. Don't exclude yourself. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's where it starts. If we are going to experience any revival, or we are going to experience any mighty move of God, the Holy Spirit is that catalyst. Just like what happened in the beginning. Before God said, "Let there be light," the Spirit of the Lord was hovering upon the face of the deep. So even for us, whatever we are trusting God for, may the Holy Spirit be a catalyst. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I like it that sometimes I can pray in a language I understand, but sometimes I pray in a language I do not understand. Because if I only limit myself to what I understand, to what I know, I will be just scratching the surface of what God has for me. What God has for me is so deep that human mind cannot comprehend. Amen? So then I tune in the Spirit, in pray in other tongues. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, then my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. Even if I don't understand it, my spirit, I'm speaking mysteries. Amen? I'm declaring things. Because if I only limit myself to what I know, some of you are not originally residents of the Western Cape. You probably come from other provinces. You don't know what's happening now in your places, where your people are. Now, if you are to pray for them with only the understanding, with only what you know, you will be limited. But when you pray in an unknown tongue, you even touch some of the things that you never know. Sometimes you wake up at night and you just feel you've got a burden to pray. You want to pray for your uncle, but you just don't know what's happening with your uncle. Pray in other tongues, as the Spirit gives you utterance. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "How be it? The Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmities when we know not what to pray for as we ought. But with groanings that cannot be uttered, He makes intercession for us." Amen. According to the will of God. That's part of this revival, where you will be able to step into the supernatural and start speaking mysteries with God. Amen. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as they were speaking in tongues, it was like they were not used to that. And things were just, they were just moving in the Spirit. And they were not used to that. And people were looking at them, they said, "They look drunk. This is, you look funny. What is this?" And then Peter had to explain what was that. I think let's go to that explanation and I'll end it there with that explanation. Acts chapter 2, let's go verse 16 to 22, New King James Version. Because when things happen, we need people who are able to refer us to, this is the fulfillment of what was spoken. Amen? You remember last year with our year of supernatural growth and even what the Lord did for us. When some of you see it, you say, oh, this is what was spoken. We can see it now. So now when they were experiencing that, Peter explained what was it. So similarly, as we are speaking these things, it's to prepare you so that when it happens, you are able to say, this is that which was spoken. Amen? This is what God has already settled it. God doesn't go with you as with pay as you go. We call it pay as you. What's this thing where when you are not in a contract for? Is it pay as you go? Yeah, God doesn't work like that. Amen? We'll see. It's already set up. It's already sorted. It's already settled. Our part is just to align ourselves with what God has already said. So he has already declared something about the last days. As we are expecting this great revival, it's not like it's of our own making. It's what God has already prepared anyway. Look at it in Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 22. New King James Version. Because but I need to land with this one.
But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God.
Okay, so Peter starts by saying, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So it means this thing is not coming from nowhere. God had already told us about this moment. God speaks things before they happen. And those who know him are able to refer back and say, but this is that which God spoke. So Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What was the prophecy saying? And it shall come to pass in the last days. By the way, if it was last days then, how much last days do you think we are in? I mean, if that was last days, how much last days do you think we are in? So, if it shall come to pass in the last days, it's coming to pass in 2025. Because we are living in the last days. Amen? We've got to align ourselves with the plan. It's already set up. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. You see, he always starts with his spirit. You see how God starts? There is no way that you are going to be an active participant in God's revival unless you are filled with his spirit. And he starts using you as the vessel to dispatch his power and his glory in the earth. He says, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Those of you who usually say, no, not, it's only men. You see, God favors men only. And this verse for me doesn't say that. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Old men will dream dreams. I want to see things. Amen? I want to see things. I want to have godly dreams. Don't have nightmare dreams. It doesn't say old men will have nightmares. By the way, if you ever have a nightmare, this is what I used to do. If I ever had a nightmare, when I wake up there, I say, this is unlawful. Yeah, because the Bible says, when I go to sleep, my sleep will be sweet. When I go to rest, I will rest. That's what God has said. This thing of nightmares and now you're dreaming, you're running and all that, it's unlawful. Amen? So if it happens, you need to say, it's unlawful. It's unlawful. I declare it to be unlawful. And whatever you declare to be unlawful on the earth will be declared unlawful in heaven. Amen. So he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams. So, in other words, we see things before they come, and we declare them. And on my men servants and on my maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days. So he's not discriminating anybody. Tell your neighbor, the Lord has not left you out. Whether you are a male or a female, the Lord wants to use you. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? And if the Lord wants to use you, can you position yourself? Can it be that when we say after church we're going to have prayer, you feel, I don't want to be left out? Who knows? Maybe when they are praying, the Holy Spirit will just come mightily, and then you are not here. Amen. I remember when Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you have asked a difficult thing. But if you see me go, if you are there when I go, you will get it. But if you are not there, you won't get it. Amen? So, please make sure that you are not just a spectator. Get involved in what God is going to do. And if each one of us just align ourselves with God's plan, align ourselves with God's plan, the Spirit of the Lord moving mightily among us, our communities will never be the same. Amen. People will be calling each other, let's go to a healing service. Let's call our neighbors, the Lord is doing things in Bob's way. And he's doing it through us. Amen. He says, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is part of this revival. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can interpret that verse in two ways. When you accept Jesus, you call on his name as your Lord and Savior, and you get saved. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. You believe with your heart and confess Jesus as Lord. So when you call on his name, you will be saved. But the second part of it, which is the real part that I like, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be rescued. It means in the times that we are living in, there will be things that will want to destroy your life. And when you call on Jesus, you will be delivered. When you are driving your car and the truck comes the other side and it has lost brakes, it's coming for you, you say, Jesus! And you will be rescued. Amen? Yeah, I told you that when some of us grew up, you see, even a child can say amen. So, and you are an adult, you can't say amen. You see, the Lord says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I've ordained strength, praise. Jesus even said, if they keep quiet, the stones will praise me. Amen. So, it means what the Lord is going to do. It says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, when you are in any trouble, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. And you may not have much time to say many things. Just say, Jesus! In the name of Jesus! And then you will see what God does. I remember one incident when Jesus talked about the Lord himself dispatching his angels over him. You remember before I went on, we went, by the way, we had a beautiful wedding. Some of you were there. It was good. Thanks for supporting them. It was good. So before I went, we were talking about the ministry of angels, how the angels are assigned for us to protect us. So even Jesus, when they were going to capture him, to kill him. He said, after Peter slashed the ear of one of those people that were coming to arrest him, Jesus said, put the sword back, for he who uses the sword will die of the sword. And he says, don't you know that if I didn't want to die, I could call upon my Father and he would dispatch legions of angels to protect me. Amen. So trust God to protect you. Call on the name of the Lord every time you are in trouble, and you will be saved. Verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you. How was Jesus attested to God, by God to them? I want you to look at the things. Was attested to God by God to you by Mr. MJ. You can read the three things. You are attested to you by God is verse 22. By
miracles,
wonders,
and signs
which God did through him in your midst. This is what we are expecting in the year of revival. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may he be attested by God to us by miracles, wonders, and signs which God will do through him using his church. Amen. May it be extraordinary. May we see things that we haven't seen before. But let's position ourselves. I'm highly expectant. Amen? I'm expecting more things. So I'll pack this one here. We'll pick it up next week. But there's so much more that the Lord has in store for us. Can we stand up and thank God for the word that you've heard? Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. We glorify you, mighty God. We say, Lord, you are holy. Lord, you are worthy.